Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hi, it's Tony Brisky from Real Ghost Stories Online. Every single day, Jenny and myself do our best to try and create the best possible show for you. But it's not free to do that. We have a lot of hard costs on this end to distribute the show, produce the show, and put it out there for you. So we ask for your help by becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person. We're doing our best to make it worth your while by giving you a bonus episode every single week with some of the best stories we can find. Also, exclusive video content, including our new monthly video feature, Seeing Ghosts, where we examine some of the best ghost photos and discuss them that we get into the show here at Real Ghost Stories Online. All I ask is that if you listen to the show on a regular basis, please consider helping support keeping it on the air. It's only $5 a month, or sign up for a full year at a time and get 1 month free. If you already are an EPP, thank you very much. If you're not yet, please consider supporting a show that you enjoy so we can continue creating it for you. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. And thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a listener describes the way she felt while being attacked by an entity via a dream. Also, a small child is looking for their parent in the middle of the night. Only the living children are all asleep in their beds. A disembodied voice whispers for a listener to turn her car around. And doing so may have saved her friend's life. Also, it's hard to sleep when you cannot turn off the phantom radio. Yes, that always does suck. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brusky joining you once again.
How are you?
Got my Ecto Cooler in hand, and I'm ready to go.
Good.
Delicious Ecto Cooler. Actually, I don't have it yet.
Are they going to come out with that again?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I saw a posting recently of the prototype cans. So it does look like Ecto Cooler will be returning, kids, from High C with the new Ghostbusters. Don't know when, don't know where, but that's good news. It's like a cult following of this drink. And it's really something I never drank much of as a kid. I think my cousins got it. My mom refused to buy it because it was, you know, more than a quarter. I remember getting it on picnics and stuff with my cousins. It's like, oh, Ecto Cooler, yay. And I think it was like discontinued, I don't know, like early 2000s finally. It was like way after the Ghostbuster craze originally was done. But it will be coming back.
I've never had it.
It's kind of like an orangey flavor.
Okay.
And I believe it was green in color.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's Slimer. That's the the kind of the thing with it. So I just wonder if it will taste like it used to. You remember the McDonald's back in the day used to have something that was just simply called orange drink. And this is completely different. This is not Ecto Cooler. And it was like always the drink that we'd have at church functions and things of that nature where they needed to feed a lot of people for really, really cheap. Mm-hmm. And so it'd be like the big old McDonald's yellow, you know, coolers that they'd put out. And it always had orange drink in it. And I think it was just like an orange drink mixture, but it was delicious. It was like orangey soda, but without carbonation, I believe.
Ew.
It was tasty.
Really?
Yeah, it was like orange Kool-Aid almost, if you will. And now it's some, I believe, like some sort of high C brand, like Orange Lava Burst or something. It's not the same.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if this is going to, you know, be the same original recipe with seven herbs and spices in it, or if it's going to be something completely, you know, modernized for the palate of today's child.
I will let you be the defining taster on all the orange drinks to come.
There we go. Now that we've discussed orange drink for the first 3 minutes, now we know. Just so we're all set. I'm sure there's plenty of people who are indeed excited about their Ecto Cooler, though. There was a craze over Crystal Pepsi recently.
Yeah.
Let's Google that. It's amazing. Better things to do. Our first story today comes into us from Brooke. Brooke writes in. There we go. I was going to say Brooks writes in, but that's not correct.
No.
Brooke writes in. Hey, guys. It's Brooke from Ontario, Canada. Again, I sent this story about the lady who sees my husband like a son and was not too happy about us making out on the couch. I don't have much more on her except for I think she might be behind a couple of attacks I had on me. First off, I'm a lucid dreamer. I've been lucid dreaming for years and didn't realize it until a friend of mine was telling me about how she was trying to do it. I've never tried the whole astral projection thing where you float up and out of your body, and that freaks me out. When I do lucid dream, I tend to wake up alert to my surroundings. Anyways, when my husband had found out that we were getting our first apartment together, that night I had a strange dream about the woman following me around. It then started trying to come on to me, trying to convince me that it was my husband, my fiancé at the time. When I told her to leave me alone, and that she clearly wasn't him, she got mad and glared at me. I felt like she was trying to push the breath from my lungs. I woke myself up more angry than afraid because, really, don't mess with a girl's sleep. When I woke up, I was lying face up and could see nothing was above me. I couldn't talk, but I could move, and I turned on my side to face the room and mouth, "Get the hell out." Finally getting my voice after mouthing that a few times, I finally said super angrily, "I don't care who you are or what you want. If you're here to cause any harm to me or my family, get out now. Go to heaven or hell, wherever you belong, but you don't belong here. Now get out." I was so mad it took me a half an hour to fall back asleep. It happened to me once more after we had moved with the same outcome. The reason why I think it was her is that although the dreams are still crystal clear in my mind, she is fuzzy. I'll tell you one quick story, as this is longer than I meant for it to be. A man I called my grandfather had moved in with us as he had cancer. He was a cowboy through and through and had one leg due to a logging accident when he was in his mid-20s. He passed away in his bed at home from a heart attack in his sleep. It devastated me, and he and I were really close. A few years after that, I had come home late at night to see the figure of a man sitting in the big overstuffed rocking chair by the front window. At first, I thought it might have been him coming to check up on me, as whoever it was had a cowboy hat on, and that was one of the signature things my grandfather wore. I looked at the shadow person and asked if it was him. No reply was forthcoming, so I went about taking my shoes off and flicked the lights on. I saw no one was there, so I turned it back off, and lo and behold, the shadow was back. I got really freaked out for no reason and decided to head upstairs to my room when I realized that I was being followed up the stairs. I started quickly heading to my room and shut the door every time until I had moved out with my husband a couple years later. When I came home at night, I'd see him and be chased up to my room. Never really thought of it as a shadow person, but I guess that may be what it was. And I know a lot of stories lately talking about the correlation between lucid dreaming and sleep paralysis. When you're lucid dreaming, you're awake and aware in your dream, and sleep paralysis is when your brain is awake before your body. So makes sense that some people who lucid dream are more prone to sleep paralysis. Sorry for such a long email. Have a great day. And you guys are always awesome.
Okay, so I'm kind of confused by the whole lucid dreaming part.
Uh-huh.
What does that really mean?
Well, according to the land of Wikipedia,
okay,
a lucid dream is any dream during which the dreamer is aware they are dreaming. During lucid dreaming, the dreamer may allegedly be able to exert some degree of control over the dream characters, narrative, and environment.
So that's more like how you dream sometimes than
awesome.
I don't dream like that.
I can't control the shit that goes on as much as I try, because sometimes I'm like, all right, this is my dream. I should be in control. I want to make it rain fire over here. You know, kind of like having suddenly crazy superpowers like our three-year-old believes she has sometimes. But I can never really do that.
Okay.
But I am aware that I can do things without hurting myself, essentially. So if I wanted to jump off a bridge, I know I'll be okay at the end of the day. It will likely be the end of the dream, though.
Okay.
Because by the time I hit the ground, that's when I wake up.
Mm-hmm.
But you have the whole falling and whatever. I've done it before in my dreams. Because, like, I'm dreaming. This will be fun, you know. yeah, there's plenty of times where I realize I'm dreaming, and then you can kind of do whatever you want.
Okay. I've never had that.
It's great fun.
Okay.
Love lucid dreaming. I wish it was like the Jetsons. Do you remember the Jetsons? There was an episode where Elroy was going to sleep, and there was, like, a little button he got to press, and, like, the maid who was the robot, like, would you like to dream about tonight, Elroy? I want to dream about this. Presses a button, then he dreams about whatever he wants to dream about.
That's kind of fun.
And I think he realized, I don't know, maybe he was lucid dreaming, I don't know, but he got to pick his dreams. I want that.
Okay.
That would be awesome. So, yeah, so there you go. That's lucid dreaming. How do you become a lucid? I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't know how that skill set comes about, or if it's because you're kind of half awake, kind of not awake. I don't know. I'm kind of slow to fall asleep sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of times where I realize I'm beginning to go into my dreams, and I realize I'm conscious of the fact that I'm about to fall into a deeper sleep.
See, I don't think I'd even want to learn how to do that, just because I'm totally comfortable with my alternate reality that I go to at night, and it's craziness. And
mine changes all the time.
But I don't want to know that that's a dream. I like dreaming the way I dream.
Do you have a continual alternate reality, or does it like change up? Because mine's like the magic eight ball. You never know what the hell's going to happen.
I never know what's going to happen. Never know what's going to happen.
It's good times.
It's weird.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Derek writes in, hello, fellow Kansans. I hail from Overland Park, but my story takes place in Kansas City, about a mile from the Grandview Triangle. Let me preface all this by saying I'm an atheist and a skeptic with a healthy dose of curiosity and open-mindedness. I tend to try and find a reasonable and physical explanation for things friends and family bring to me, stories, haunted places, photos, videos, etc. I've been to many haunted locations in and around this awesome city, but have to find, see, and hear anything that we couldn't debunk with a little research and knowledge of physics and building structure. I want to believe, but can't do so blindly. I am very happily married with two young boys. This is paramount to the story. When my oldest, now four, was three, and my youngest was one, not really talking, we were living in a house in southern Kansas City. My youngest had a habit of coming into our room and sneaking into bed with us, almost mini-ninja-like. But he would inevitably wake my wife or me up. We were living in a split-level house and kept a baby gate at the top of the stairs to prevent him walking, more likely rumbling down the stairs, if he woke and tried to go down them. The night in question, I woke up to the sound of his bed squeaking like he was getting out of it, and then his footsteps going out of the room and into the short hall to the baby gate. I heard he start to say, "Daddy, Daddy, where are you?" And it was at this time I felt prudent, as I was coherent enough to get out of bed, go into the hall, gather him, lay him back down into his bed. I heard him talking all the way to the point where I got to the door to our room. Keep in mind that I never heard the footsteps of him walking anywhere. Older house with very squeaky floors. When I stepped into the hall, the voice stopped. I walked over to the baby gate, only to find myself alone. There was a bathroom and another bedroom right there, so I checked both to see if he walked into either. Both were vacant of my child. I went into the boys' bedroom, only to find them both fast asleep. The oldest wrapped in blankets, is prone to twisting himself up in the middle of the night throughout the night. I didn't or couldn't think much of it at the time and went back to bed. Next morning, I relayed the story to my wife. She claims to be sensitive, and I have no reason not to believe her. She told me there was a little girl in our house that had been trying to get my attention for years. At this point, we had lived there about 5 years. And she, the little girl, could never understand why I was the only one in the house that didn't acknowledge her. To this day, I still cannot explain this and come up with anything rational to explain it to myself as to what happened that night. I haven't had any experiences since that night. I only recently came upon your show and have been listening at as many podcasts as I can, but to listen to other people's experiences and hope someday be able to relate another story to you and maybe run into you as well. Keep up the excellent work.
I had never thought about how a small child really, when they're gone and they're a ghost,
mm-hmm.
they still don't understand things. It's not like because they're dead, they get all this wisdom as a ghost.
Sure.
So they still don't understand that some people can see them and some people can't, and they probably get their feelings hurt and
mm-hmm.
all of that. Just the same as a real child, a live child doesn't understand everything.
Do you think they ever mature and grasp things, or is it just as a regular child would eventually grow out of that, or are they perpetually stuck at that state?
At that maturity level?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I know some stories we get are about children that grow up
mm-hmm.
and, you know, as a ghost, but I don't know that all children do that.
It's hard to say. I mean, it seems more times than not, it's more like, and this child died in 1924 and they're still a child.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes you think, gee, maybe they are still in right. that state. That's a scary thing to think about. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. Izzy writes into us, and if you'd like to write in our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Of course, you can also call in as well at 855-853-4802. She writes, all right, so I'll start off by commenting on a story y'all posted earlier, but I do have a story as well. As a psychology student planning to major, I was required to study some portion of dream psychology and whatnot. Sleep paralysis we didn't go over much, but I can confirm from a professional standpoint that scientists are having to begin to acknowledge that there may be another realm, such as the spirit realm, and that it may very well exist. Psychology, we have tried to explain it, but it's beginning to look more real. As my professor and PhD who studied under Whaley, did a great deal of research before teaching, said, there's a good possibility that there is some demonic intervention involved and that comments that contain direct and specific threats like that are most likely due to demonic intervention. I suggest she take religious action in whatever field she believes most in and see if a priest, a rabbi, etc. could come bless and or investigate the house. Moving on, now my family has always been more in touch with the spirit realm. The theory among the younger generations, anywhere from 16 to 60 plus, is that it's due to the large amount of Native American blood running through our veins. One particular event that I can attest to is happened to my best friend and I. Now, my best friend's house is fairly creepy, and her grandmother did die in the house. Although random unexplainable events have happened, the family and close friends like myself just lovingly joke that Meemaw did it on accident. She was a fairly clumsy old lady. Now, earlier this year, my friend ended up staying 2 nights in a row at my house after receiving a warning text telling her not to come home that night. The next day, I drove her home, and after dropping her off, I turned to go back to my house. About 2 minutes down the road, the strangest sensation hit me hard and directly. It was like an invisible wave had swept into me. The strangest chilling sensation crawled up my back, and I straightened up my seat. An inkling of concern began to form in my brain, seeming as I was somewhat concerned for my friend, and she was essentially like a sister to me after many years of close friendship and camaraderie. Waving it off as just me being my worrying old self and a strange coincidence, I continued driving. Less than a minute late, I heard an audible whisper, soft but assertive, telling me, "Turn around." Swerving into a parking lot, I rushed back and burst in through the back door. I've never been more thankful that I listened to that voice in the car. I came in to hear her dad yelling and very upset at her crying on the stairs curled up. I walked over to her telling me to leave and her dad telling me to stay before learning what horrible events had happened the night before. I sat with him for an hour or two, holding my friend's hand, handing her tissues and letting her sob into my chest and screaming and just let her feelings loose. It was the worst state I'd ever seen her in, and that's saying a lot after all the drama we'd been through together. Knowing my friend incredibly well, who was in a really rough spot at the time, she would have definitely attempted suicide if I had not gone back and calmed her down and been there for her to calm her down and her dad, both, and to listen and give support. To this day, I still wonder, was it a connection between us because of our friendship that made me go back, or something more like Meemaw or an angel watching over her? What are y'all's thoughts over this?
Okay, I know it's kind of, you want to know what happened, but I think there's a reason that that part was omitted. Because I think the part that, you know, is up for discussion is the voice in the car.
Sure.
And whether or not that was just intuition or, you know, could it have been just an empathetic moment where she was just feeling the pain of her good mm-hmm. friend? Or was it something actually whispering to her?
On the part of something that's been with her to go and help, or with the part of the friend, hey, come back and help this person?
I think more so on the part of the friend.
Mm-hmm. I could very much see that. That seems to happen quite often.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering towards the end of that, like, did I completely blank out in part of the story? And
no.
I don't recall.
No,
what
I read
happened.
I read it twice earlier, and it, I think, was just omitted. Just something really
sure.
bad happened.
Okay.
So.
And it's just a story of or someone that was able to bring her back to help give comfort in a time of need.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very interesting. I was wondering, because sometimes that does happen.
Yeah.
Where I have read a story, and then you could literally ask me, and I could have read it really good, too. And then really, you know, hit all the inflections it should be hit correctly. And like, what was the story about? I have no idea. Sometimes when I'm reading, I mean, I really try to comprehend everything we're reading and
yeah.
talking about in the show. It's just every once in a while, you know, your mind just kind of goes, and I could be thinking about something completely different for a couple moments and then still be reading the story and be like, what am I reading?
No, you guys didn't miss anything.
Okay.
It was just not there.
Okay. Well, good. I didn't have a mind fart.
A mind fart.
Like that?
That's a new one.
It's a new term, mind fart.
Okay.
Yeah. Stevie writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. You read my story about the vanishing old lady at the food court in upstate New York, and I was so thrilled. Here's another one that took place a few years earlier in my life, in the early 1990s. I moved to my own one-bedroom apartment in Toronto. It was just me and my Siamese cat. Before we moved, the movers came to my home with the furniture. I was sleeping in the near-empty apartment in a sleeping bag with only a few things to make the place livable. I couldn't shake the feeling that my cat and I weren't alone in the apartment, but attribute this to nerves. Being in a new place, in the armpit of winter, I was sitting in my sleeping bag, reading before going to sleep, when I noticed my cat was watching something in the hallway outside my bedroom door. I should point out that my cat was very attached to me and me to her, and she routinely lay on my bed before and after I went to sleep. When she was looking down the hall, which was creepy given my not-alone feeling, after a moment, she got up, sat in the doorway, watching, her tail flicking back and forth. She got up and walked into the living room, still looking up, following something. A moment later, she came back into my room, lay back down on my sleeping bag, but remained alert. Just afterwards, I saw her raise her eyes up as if something was standing in the doorway. She kept looking up until whatever she was looking at was standing over us. Apparently it left after that, and she was watching it go back down the hallway before she lay down and went back to sleep. This is very scary, but at the same time fascinating. I found out that a disabled person had died on my floor, though not in my apartment. I told this story years later to a Toronto paranormal group, but they dismissed it as the normal behavior of a cat in a new living situation. I don't agree with that for one second. I love the show. I'm an EPP. Yours sincerely, Stevie.
Okay, could it have been just the normal behavior of a cat in a new situation? Possibly, but I know my cat and my dog, and I know when they're doing something that's out of the character of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, she probably knows that too.
Sure.
So if she says something very strange was going on, you know, there's some clout there.
Yeah, it is one of those things where you can tell when something is out of character, and you can tell when there's an uncomfortableness with the pets.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can sometimes tell if, you know, it's a windy day, it's the wind, that's what's bothering them. They're kind of, you know, or there's a storm coming. You can tell if it's out of character and usually diagnose why mm-hmm. it's out of character. I would take it or believe that, she could also, you know, tell when there's the animal's acting out of character and there really is no reason why they should be acting out of character. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that that story and sharing your experience with us. Our next letter says, hi again. I recently shared my story about my near-death experience, falling from a cliff and being saved by an unseen force. That was a good story.
Was that one of her APP stories?
I don't recall if it was or not.
I think it was.
It was one of those amazing stories where it's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
That's amazing how this person did not die, and there's like no rational reason why they just stopped during going down that that long cliff. So definitely worth checking out on that EPP episode. It was very recent.
Very recent, within the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, So somewhere. When this airs, it's going to be within the last probably 5 EPPs or so.
Okay.
So just for reference point. Today, I'd like to share one of my many ghost stories. In my late teens and early 20s, I live in Colorado. I was 18 or 19 at the time and was living outside my mother's home for the first time. I had roommates, my two best friends at the time, and we were wild. We constantly had friends over and would go to parties almost every night. Maybe that's why I never noticed anything in the house until about a year in. Anyway, at the time, it was a very small group of very good friends who were out hiking Mount Garfield one afternoon, and I foolishly entered one of the abandoned mines to explore. They quickly were overcome by fumes, and two of the three wanted to go back and get out. The third, the closest to me, we'll call him Tim, wanted to keep going and refused to turn back. He died, and they barely made it out alive. In life, he had a very strong curiosity about death and was always talking about it. Not in a morbid way, he approached it with the curiosity of an explorer of uncharted territory. A great adventurer. I suppose it was a suicide, but not because he didn't love life. He wanted to see. His parents owned a resort a few hours away and invited all of us to stay with them while we attended his wake and funeral. This is only important to explain the situation in which I was leaving, nothing to do with what happened. On the evening I was set to leave, was the only evening I was ever in my house alone. My roommates had left on the skiing trip. I had just gotten home from work, rushing to get ready to pack. It was an old house, two bedrooms with a bathroom and a separate dressing room, closet set between the rooms. One entire wall of the dressing room was cabinets, most of which were wired shut. I'd never questioned this, but looking back now, it does seem odd. I was in the dressing room getting ready when I heard one of the cabinets behind me rattling as if trying to open. My first thought was that our cat had gotten in there somehow and needed to be let out, but when I turned around, I realized it was a cabinet that was wired shut. There was no way the cat or anything else could have gotten in. The cabinet continued to rattle, and I watched, opening enough that I could see there was nothing inside. My skin broke out in goose flesh. I grabbed my things, ran out the door. I was gone for the weekend, and when I returned, I casually mentioned it over breakfast with my roommate's father, who owned the house. Oh yeah, he said, this place is old, built originally without a bathroom. Used to be an outhouse in back. That little area in between the rooms used to be a closet. One of the original owners hung himself in there. I froze in shock, realizing that the cabinet was rattling. It was just about the right height to be hit with the swaying feet of a hanging man. I never experienced anything else in that house, but both my roommate and landlord told me they'd seen the man wandering through the house from time to time. I hope you enjoyed my story. I love the show. We'll write back with more. Thanks.
That is really interesting to think that the feet are still hitting the cabinet door.
That's creepy.
It is.
That's imagery that you don't necessarily want when you you need a little privacy. And you don't want any stage fright, so to speak, when you're just trying to do your thing. So, yeah, I don't think I could ever use a bathroom again.
No.
There you go. Thanks for sharing your experience with us. Shelby writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. Just started listening to the show about a week ago, and I'm loving it. I've been listening at work, and it really helps the day fly by. I've had a few paranormal experiences, but I'm going to share the first experience I ever had. This happened when I was about 14 years old. I was staying the night with my best friend at the time, which I did on a regular basis, and this particular night we decided to watch a movie in the living room and sleep on the couches. After our movie went off, my friend was already asleep, as were her parents. I got up and turned the TV off and lay back down on the couch. I was trying to go to sleep, and all of a sudden I hear a radio turn on. It would stay on one station for a few seconds. You could hear static, and it would switch to another station. The sound was not coming from her parents' room, and I could see them asleep since their door was open. I decided to get up and quietly look around the house for a source of the music. I looked at my friend's room and all throughout her house, and it wasn't that big of a house, so it didn't take long. And I couldn't find a radio anywhere. It was really annoying me, since I have to sleep in complete silence. After not being able to find it, I decided to just lie down and try my best to fall asleep. 2 minutes after I lied down, I felt the pressure of someone sit down on the couch near my feet. I sat up to find that no one was there. At this point, I was really freaked out and lay down and pulled my blanket over my head. As I lay there in shock, I feel a very cold touch on my feet and it's slowly rising up my legs. I was so petrified that I couldn't move. As the coldness got higher and higher, it reached my thighs, and I finally got the courage to jump up and wake up my friend. I told her that we should go to sleep in her room like we normally did. As soon as I woke her up, the radio had stopped. She sleepily agreed, and we went to her room. I was so freaked out, she fell asleep as soon as we got there. I stayed up for about an hour longer, and nothing else happened, so I eventually fell asleep as well. The next day, I told my friend and her mom what happened. Her mom said that sometimes in the middle of the night, she hears her radio too. But she said it was not her radio, and she could never find where it was coming from. I also found out that the house was over 100 years old. Since the experience I had, my friend said that she had been woken up to someone whispering in her ear, but when she woke up, there's no one in the room. They no longer live in that house, since it's been many years since this occurred. I wanted to know your opinion about this happening. Could music be coming from thin air? Or would there have to be a hidden radio somewhere that was being manipulated by something? As I said, I have a few more stories that I will eventually share with you. Thank you much for running this show. It's amazing, and I love to hear everyone else's stories. Keep up the great work.
I think either scenario isn't good, and either scenario being one, that it actually is a radio that they have, but something's manipulating it to turn it just really low,
mm-hmm.
and probably to a station they don't listen to. So it's like, that's not our radio.
And it's turning and constantly changing stations.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Or it's just a phantom residual energy of that sound.
What I'm wondering about with the radio is, if you were to listen to it, is it a current day broadcast that she's hearing?
Wonder if she can even tell. I mean, yeah. If it's just a really low sound, you know, you can't tell what's being said or anything.
Mm-hmm. I would guess probably not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless there is like something that's picking this up and there's some sort of speaker that's multiplying the sound out. That's just some sort of weird anomaly going on in that house. But if this is like just coming out of nothing or something and it is, ghost related, that would be interesting.
With the other stuff going on, though, I tend to think it's more so something manipulating what they have.
So something existing.
Mm-hmm.
So like a current broadcast is coming out of something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting story. That would be, it would be even creepier. Now, in the movie version of that story,
mm-hmm.
it would be an olden day broadcast. It'd be like something.
30s music. Or
exactly.
Something. Yeah.
And then the DJ comes on and is like, 1935. Happy, today, like giving
right.
the date and the time and the forecast. And
mm-hmm.
it's like, oh my God. Yeah. That would be the creepy, and then all of a sudden, bam, cut to commercial. So kind of like that, the show we're watching right now. That's, what is it? The.
I'm going to make you remember. It's an important date.
I don't remember the exact. It's 11, 11,
11, 22,
63.
There you go.
11, 22, 63. Yes, that's a good one.
It is. And that's literally the show's name.
Yeah, 11, 22, 63.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a Stephen King, and this is not an endorsement or an advertisement, but it's not ghost related, but paranormal related, where the man's going back in time, through a door at a coffee shop of all places. And it sounds kind of hokey, but it's really not. It's done very well. He's supposed to try and prevent the assassination of Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you like creepy and paranormal, which I'm guessing you may have a somewhat of an interest in, considering you're listening to this show, it's on Hulu, by the way, if you want to check it out. So we're kind of hooked on it right now.
And James Franco's in it.
It's good. Yeah. From one ghost person to another, it's a good recommendation if you like creepy shit.
Mm-hmm.
So here you go. Let's go to our caller, Nick in Wisconsin. Hi.
Hi, Brewskies. My name is Nick. I'm calling from Wisconsin. Actually, an area you guys talked about a while back. I don't know if you remember Fox and Hounds and Holy Hill area. Both of those places are actually said to be haunted. But my story is actually at another little bar restaurant near there. I'll first tell you the story of the bar, well, at least the building. Back in the early 1900s, it was a farming community, and this building was more of like a general store and a tavern. A gentleman, his name was William, was having a discussion, actually an argument with one of his farmhands, and the farmhand actually stabbed him in the neck. And he actually crawled to the building. They sent for the doctor, but obviously he didn't get there in time. So William bled out and died right inside the doorway of this building. When this new bar opened up, they tore up some old flooring and stuff and found the original flooring. There was a stain on the floor right inside the door, and they always said, oh, it's still a blood stain from him. Nobody really believed that, but that was kind of the story the owner told. I was a manager at that time, and I actually lived in an apartment above the bar. The owner liked to give tours, and I was with him as he was showing one of his friends the bar, and he was telling the story about the spot. As a joke, I laid down on that spot, showing where it looked like he could have bled out and the blood pooled around his body. I wasn't thinking much of it at the time, just kind of a little joke thing. That night I went to bed, and my bed in the apartment above the bar was actually right above the spot. Well, that night I didn't get any sleep at all. I never saw anything, but every time I fell asleep, within a second, it felt like somebody sat on the bed right next to me. I'd wake up and I'd see the bed rise up like somebody was getting off of it. I looked around and didn't see anybody. I tried to fall back asleep. As soon as I did, same thing. Being a bartender, going to bed at 3 or 4 in the morning anyway, so I ended up being woken up until it started getting light, so I just decided to stay awake. There was a delivery that I had to go downstairs for. And after the delivery guy left, I was walking around the bar. I walked towards that area, and I felt just a pressure. So I said, William, I'm sorry for what I did. I didn't mean any disrespect to you. I promise not to do it again. That night, I had no issues. I slept fine, slept like a baby. Other things I saw in that bar, like I would sit at the bar after close, doing my paperwork and stuff, watching TV, what have you. And there was a mirror that you kind of see towards that area. And every once in a while I'd see shadows. You would think it'd be like a headlights going by or something like that. You could write it off as that. But I kind of knew it was him. He was just staying. He was there. And I just thought that was really cool. He never bothered me after that, but kind of wanted to make sure that he knew I was still there, knew that he was still there. Well, that's my story. It's not really anything really scary, but I thought it was really interesting. And I wanted to say I love the show. I am down with OPP. I mean EPP. And I hope you guys keep it up. Love it. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
I think it's funny. Whenever you try and poke fun at a ghost or something that happened and then stuff starts to happen to you,
it's usually never a good idea.
No. No, it's not.
It's a very active area in that state. And it's you know, probably one of the earlier settled areas, too. I mean, you go outside of Milwaukee. That's kind of where that is geographically. So you have a lot of, close to the lake, close to where a lot of things are going on. So I suppose more history just in terms of people being there.
Sure.
Less sporadic into the Northern Woods area. But very interesting area to visit.
Mm-hmm.
I always like wandering around there. There's a nice little creepiness to it, but it's like a fun, friendly creepiness. If there is such a thing.
Okay.
So thank you for that story. We do appreciate that. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi.
Hey, this is Silver from Texas. I was just calling to ask if any of your other listeners, if they've been in the same room when someone passed away, like at a hospital, and if they saw like their aura or something like that. Because the very first thing that I remember ever seeing, I was the child. I had to been like 4, maybe 3 years old. I don't know. I was really small, but we were all at the hospital where my mom's grandfather was passing away. And even my sister, she was just as young as me. But like 8 months apart, she even saw the same thing. We saw like a green light right above his body. Everybody was crying, but the room was dark. That was the only thing lighting up the room. I could just see everyone's silhouettes, and this green light right above him. And then my sister saw the same thing. And we've always talked about it with our mom, like growing up. I just wanted to know if anyone else has seen something like that when someone passed away, or if that. I was also calling because usually, and I'm surprised it actually hasn't, maybe it actually died. I don't know. I was thinking some weird things are happening lately in this new apartment ever since I started listening to your podcast. And then you guys are saying that how you guys aren't responsible for any type of paranormal activity that happens while listening to the podcast. But I know I think it's cool because the other day I was fixing my curtains. I have like a sliding door and I was fixing my curtains. And I saw someone on the other side of the fence walking. I thought it was one of the neighbors. And then I ignored it, but it just like stayed there. And then I looked at it and then I moved my curtains out of the way so I can get a better view. And then I saw what looked like my friend that had passed away. She was at the neighbor's mailbox looking at mail. And I looked. Freaked out because I was like, what the fuck? Like, it looks like her. And I've wanted to take a picture, but at the same time, I was like, no, what if it is the neighbor? Maybe I just haven't seen her, and that's creepy to take a picture of the neighbor. So I ran to tell my mom. I was like, oh my God, look, it looks like. And then they went to go check, and they're like, no one's there. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, it happened super quick. But no, yeah, that was pretty badass. I don't know if lately, little gadgets will start making noises. This phone that I never charge, usually around this time it'll go off, but I guess it actually died. Main thing, I just wanted to know if any of your other listeners have seen things like that, like a color type of light when someone passed away. But other than that, you guys are awesome. I listen to you guys every day since I've been listening. I fucking found out that I do have internet. What the fuck? So I'm going to, on my day off, I'm going to fucking go to your website and become an EPP because y'all are fucking badass. Keep up the good work. Have a good day.
Very expressive individual.
Okay. And I just forgot what I was going to say. You made me lose it.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
What were you going to say?
Oh, I know what I was going to say. I was going to say maybe the reason he and his sister saw that was mm-hmm. because they were children.
And just being more open?
Mm-hmm.
Where the gates have not closed to the world of the paranormal?
Yeah. You know, maybe that's why you don't hear about that more often, because I bet a lot of children aren't necessarily always present when somebody does pass away.
Sure.
You know, a lot of parents kind of keep their kids away from that, or they come and they say goodbye and then they're not there for the actual passing. So it's a good question. I'd like to know that too.
It's an interesting observation, because I wonder how many times you have situations where people say, you know, I grew up in a house and it was haunted, and then we moved and I was five and I never had anything weird happen to me again.
Mm-hmm.
How much of it is you never had anything weird happen to you again because you grew up and because those abilities faded away? Or some people who just stay in the house, or, you know, we never left the house, but all the activity seemed to stop around five.
Mm-hmm.
You know, was it really ridded, you know, or ridden out of the environment, or was it, ridden out of you where you were not able to pick up on it anymore?
And that's so hard to know.
It is. Yeah. I mean, it's impossible to know.
Yeah.
It's just a thought mm-hmm. for some of those scenarios that we get in like that. Sabrina. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Sabrina. I've been listening to your podcast for, I think, about 2 weeks now, and I'm still kind of playing catch up. I'm not yet an ACP, but so far I enjoy the show, and as I've been listening to it, I've been hearing about all sorts of different stories about people and their dead relatives or people and their pets, and it's got me thinking about a story of mine that I wanted to share. I'm not sure if it's quite paranormal or not. Maybe you guys can give me some input. But in 2005, there was a CD that I had, and I was about 12 years old at the time. I used to stay up late, and I would listen to the CD with a headset that plugged into my computer. Excuse me. And there was no way that the CD would have been able to record any sort of sound not coming from the Windows Media Player itself. But my cat, she was 11 at the time, she came into the room, and as I was listening to a song playing on this particular CD with my headset on, she meowed. And to this day, I can still hear her meowing on that CD. And I'm not sure exactly what happened, but it's just one of those things that I've been thinking about ever since I've been listening to your podcast, and just today, just to make sure that I was still hearing what I thought I heard, I turned on the CD in my car, the same one that I had played 10 years ago, and I can still hear her meowing, and it's just one of those very emotional things for me. This cat that I had, she died in 2014, I believe it was. Yes, 2014. And this story happened in 2005. So there's my little short paranormal experience, and I'd love to hear this featured on a podcast and hopefully get your guys' input on what happened. And once again, I love the show, and I've gotten my boyfriend to listen to it, and sometimes we just hang out on the couch late at night listening to it. So have fun. Keep doing what you're doing.
Okay. What could cause a cat's meow to be somehow recorded onto the CD?
I don't think anything. I have no idea.
That's so weird.
I mean, unless that was... I mean, we're talking a CD here. We're talking a...
Not like a home burned one, I don't think. This is like a compact disc that you would buy at the store.
I mean, there are things on albums that are essentially, they kind of refer to them as Easter eggs, where it's like, oh, you didn't know about that?
Uh-huh.
You know, and there's some that are true, there's some that are not. There's like urban legends of, a woman screaming outside of a recording studio, and you can hear it on a certain album, and she's being murdered. There's all sorts of little things
mm-hmm.
that are out there in the world of recording. So I guess what I would say is try and find another album or another CD or cassette tape or 8-track or whatever you want of that recording and listen to it and see if the cat's there.
Yeah.
It could be a little Easter egg. If not, I don't know. If it's a burned CD, that you shouldn't be picking up any audio unless it was somehow recorded in the effect of, I mean, there's ways you can record, you know, literally one piece to the other. But that's more like in the days of cassettes and making mixtapes. And sometimes you can pick up audio around on it. You know, I don't know.
I almost wonder if she's not insinuating that when that plays, that she has her cat still there that meows to it.
Like it's not on the CD itself, that she's just hearing it off in the environment?
I'm trying to figure out exactly what meaning she meant. Either way,
yeah.
There's not too many logical explanations for that.
It is bizarre. It is very... Let us know what exactly you meant by that. And do what I said, if that applies to the situation, and let us know what happens. That's just a weird scenario to come up. I mean, there's plenty of times I remember, recording, cassettes back and forth. And when I did it on one, there was this constant clicking on this one boom box I had. And you could hear it like nonstop. You just knew like, oh, it was recorded from that boom box. And then there was another way where you could pick up audio and you could actually overdub exterior sounds, like talking up the ramp of a song. It was great for playing radio station.
Sure.
Because I could actually talk up the ramp of the song and then click it over, and then it would go into just pure mode of recording from CD or cassette to cassette without me over it. But then I wanted to talk. I just slid that little thing over and I could do my little talk over break.
That's so cute.
It's funny because when I'm talking about this, I can just picture exactly where that button is on my mom's old boombox, and where I had to press it, and there was three notches, and I can tell you exactly where I had to go. It's like just ingrained in me. Because I think I played radio station for like 8 years by myself with this boombox. So that's like a career unto itself. In that basement. Yes. So like when I did retire from like regular old radio, I was on the regular radio for roughly 18 years.
18.
And so then you add the fake years in of playing it. So I was doing it for about 30 years.
Yeah.
30 some years.
Yeah, because you started when you were like 3.
And now we're doing this thing, so it really never actually ended. It's just kind of, it continues to transform itself into something else. And it, believe it or not, it's like I'm back in my basement again playing radio station, except now people are listening. Other than the cat. Another thing I used to do when I'd play radio station, which was in the later years of playing radio station, like right before I got a real job, I would take the boombox and the speakers, and I would put them up in my window at my parents' house. And I was on the second floor, and I do this like any time we had like people over or something. And I put the speakers up in the windows, and then I would play radio station from my bedroom and broadcast out there so I could talk over and do announcements and stuff on the speakers and play today's hits and yesterday's favorites, because everyone loved to hear the latest from John Cicada as they were enjoying a hot dog and a jolly good soda in Wisconsin.
You should have had siblings.
You know, all I had was a cat, and this is the shit that happens when that happens. This is the shit that happens when that doesn't happen.
I got it.
So there you go. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, you want to help keep us on the air and prevent me from playing John Cicada out the windows of our home to the neighbors, please become an EPP. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click become an EPP. You'll prevent the neighborhood from running us out of town and get a lot of great ghost stories. So check it out, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click become an EPP. And thank you in advance for doing that. If you already are, thank you so much. We greatly appreciate your support. That is what keeps the show on the air. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, my dead cats, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online. I had to throw the cat in there.
Okay.
She was mentioned in the episode. Murphy.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part, guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.